Welcome on, Senior.
Thank you, Teresa.
We're in show 14, and last week we had a great look at the high schools in this time period for St. Louis, and we ended up last week talking about the Marianists.
Right.
And we just briefly got into that, and we're going to talk more about that today in their retreat center.
Yeah, that's what we're going to take a look at, and that's going to finish off our chapter.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, then after that, we head over to chapter 3. Yeah, so we've seen that the Marianists really come into St. Louis full force. They start out in the late 19th century with Saints Peter and Paul founding a boys' high school there in that parish.
Yes.
The story goes that the provincial came to meet with Archbishop Kane, and there was a little history there. Kane had invited the Brothers of Mary to come to West Virginia when he was a bishop there in that diocese, and they had declined the offer.
Oh.
So now they're coming hat in hand to him, and he's not going to let them off the hook. He said to the provincial, he said, you didn't want me when I was bishop of a poor diocese, but now you want me because of a rich diocese. And the provincial said to him, "Oh, your grace, please don't punish me for the wrongdoings of my predecessors."
good, quick answer.
It was quick, yeah. And so we see that they came into St. Louis. They had that high school. Then Chaminade after that took over McBride up in North St. Louis. Our Southside Catholic become St. Mary's in South St. Louis. And then Vianney.
Right.
So real effort in Catholic education and boys' Catholic education in the St. Louis area. And then, as we saw, they moved their novitiate and their provincialate and their second novitiate out to Glencoe, to Marycliffe. And so everything is fine, coming along nicely, when along comes this visionary, this brother Eugene Meyer-Peter, and he wants to set up a retreat house. Remember, this is on a huge amount of property, all kinds of acreage there, 130 acres. And so he thought there would be no problem with having a retreat house there too at the same time. So what he did was he got permission to travel around. He went around the United States looking for retreat centers.
Okay.
And taking notes wherever he went, he looked for the best ideas and the best practices of running a retreat center, especially for teenagers, for youth. And so with that, he comes back with a notebook full of ideas, and he hires an architectural firm. This is Maurice Carroll. And I did a little research to see about, you know, these architects. It's always interesting to know what their background is in all of this and why they end up with these projects. Well, Maurice Carroll firm got its start out in Topeka, Kansas, and it designed a church, the Church of the Assumption, in 1924. And even before that, in Kansas City, they had designed and built St. Vincent de Paul in Kansas City, and that church won them a gold medal from the American Institute of Architects.
Wow.
You know, so doing pretty well for themselves. Later on during the Depression, it was Maurice Carroll that designed the infirmary building at the Missouri State Hospital No. 3 in Nevada, Missouri. And I believe that's still there. That building is still there. In 1938, they got a commission to build the Newt Rockne Memorial Building at Notre Dame University.
Whoa.
Yeah, Will was right. And then in 1939, they built, or they designed the Father Francis Hayden High School, again in Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, I know a lot about Hayden High.
Do you?
I do. Well, I shouldn't say know a lot, but yes, I have good friends whose all of their children have been through Hayden.
I'll be darned.
Yes.
So now you know who the architects were.
Right.
And then later on, they were given the commission of building the Church of the Immaculate Conception in New Madrid, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
And here they had an opportunity to design the church in such a way as to be earthquake-proof.
Oh, okay. There you go. So, there's the answer to my first thought.
Yeah.
The yikes.
I visited New Madrid a number of years back, and they have a little museum there and a gift shop. And I was so tempted to buy one of the T-shirts that they had on display there. It said, "New Madrid, it's our fault."
Oh, that is too cute.
Yeah, I should have gotten it.
That is cute. I like that.
Anyway, by the time they get a commission in 1964 to build the Immaculate Heart of Mary down in South St. Louis, They have now changed their architectural style significantly, and they've become very modern, their buildings. You have to realize also that the Archbishop of St. Louis is very modern in his designs also. Take a look at, you know, in Volume 3, I've got a lot of photographs of churches and the churches that closed and the churches that opened during his period of time, and it's very distinct.
It's very stark.
Yeah, it's very stark.
The differences, yes.
Yeah, and so there you have then the... They're playing around with a very modern design. If you've ever been in Immaculate Heart of Mary Church, you know that it's a very modern-looking building.
Yes, very much like the church I grew up in Arkansas.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Probably built around the same time.
Yeah, probably so. And then also they're the ones who are responsible for designing St. Catherine of Siena in Pagedale.
Oh, okay.
Again, another modern-looking building. The building that they're going to propose as a retreat center is going to be angular. It's going to be two stories, and then it's built in the side of a hill. So the refectory or the dining room and kitchen is actually a level lower than the two stories that the retreat center is going to be made of. It's going to be 32,000 square feet.
Well, that's a big building.
It's a big building, yeah. And it's going to be a lot of horizontal lines in it, if you've ever seen the building itself. Yeah, it's a very unique building. It fits in very nicely with the landscapes, but it's definitely horizontal. You get those senses that a lot of glass and a lot of aluminum.
Okay.
So it was built at a time when energy was cheap, and you didn't mind about losing a lot through the glass and through the aluminum. You also had a chapel that was very stark. It was square. It had very modern stained glass windows in it. Originally, the building was designed for 40 retreatants that would be there. This would be unique. Each retreatant would have his or her own room. And not only that, but his or her own bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that would definitely have been unique.
Definitely, yeah, because the vast majority of retreat centers, especially the ones that catered to teenagers, was that you had one bathroom at the end of a corridor. Brother Meyer Peter did not want that. He wanted it designed in such a way as to cut down on late-night traffic, you know?
Yes.
And so by giving everybody their own bathroom, they'd have no reason to come out of their room at night. Not only that, this guy was brilliant. Not only that, but at the end of each corridor, on the first floor and on the second floor, was a suite for retreat masters. And they could go ahead and they could look right down that corridor from beginning to end. The line of sight was constant all the way through, and the lights didn't turn off at night. So, you know, you had your door, and it was a solid door so that the light wouldn't get into your room. But the lights were on all night long, and if the retreat master decided to sit up there with a chair or something, he could monitor that all night long.
Sounds like my college dorm, except the community bath. But yeah, you could see down both hallways, either direction.
Oh yeah, very,
one
very
straight shot.
Yeah, clever, clever. Yeah. In the end, the building was dedicated in October 1st of 1967. And it cost $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, this was a huge commitment on the part of the Mariners.
At that time, incredible. Still a lot of money, but for...
And then at the same time, it's going to be used mainly by teenagers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is groundbreaking itself. So right away, the Mariners schools, both McBride and Vianney, are going to be set up for retreats. Then it's going to be welcome to other groups also that would be able to come. Incarnate Word jumped in right away. It's a girls' school, and they began working it too. In the 1970s, you had a staff at the Mariners Apostolic Center, MAC, M-A-C.
Okay.
And they had five brothers and two priests. And then as time went on, by 1979, there were five brothers and two priests, and a religious sister.
Okay.
And this is Sister Chris Husick. I think that's how you pronounce her name, Husick. And she was a Mariners daughter of Mary Immaculate. We don't think about them very often, but there is a women's order that's associated with the Marianists. And then also there was one lay woman, and this was Mrs. Margaret Brandt.
Okay.
So their staff is a little bit larger than what it was before. You know? And then as time went on, they began scheduling these retreats. And since there were not a lot of opportunities for other retreat centers, and it became very popular for high school, especially juniors and seniors, to go on these retreats, they found themselves scheduling as many as 56 retreats a year.
That's more than one a week.
It's more than one a week, yeah.
That is a lot of work.
It is. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
They were well used then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was the whole idea behind this, and certainly was. And then so those times when they didn't have retreats for teenagers, then they opened up the retreat center for other retreats, specifically retreats for women. You had Advent programs. You had Holy Week retreats,
nice.
Things of that nature. And then for a number of years, in June of a year, the archdiocesan priest would come out for a week-long retreat. So they had two retreats a year, and one was usually in November, and it was at the White House Retreat House, which is a beautiful location, autumn, you know, it's wonderful. But in June, they would have another retreat because there were so many archdiocesan priests who were involved in education. And so they couldn't take a November retreat.
Okay.
So they did theirs in June instead.
Okay.
Yeah, so it worked out pretty well for everybody. So everything is pretty minimal. It's pretty stark. And then all of a sudden, there's another brother of Mary who everybody knows that came on out and really changed the atmosphere. And this was Brother Mel Meyer.
Oh, Brother Mel.
Brother Mel,
okay.
Yeah. You know, he is working as an artist. He's an avant-garde artist. There's no doubt about that. He's one of those guys that when you go into an office or a dentist's office or doctor's office or a church or whatever, the first thing you do is you look at this piece of art and you go, oh, that's a Brother Mel.
That's Brother Mel. It's very distinctive, absolutely.
Yeah, it really is.
I love it.
He had his own studio at Biani High School on the grounds out there. And then over the lifetime, he created over 8,000 pieces of art.
8,000?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why there are so many that you see around.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to have one myself.
And shortly after he died, the Mariners put together a coffee table style book with a lot of his art. It's very interesting to see all of that.
Wow.
In 1983, he was invited to come out and do something with that chapel, which was so square and so just there. And then also to add a modern statuary around the grounds of the retreat center. And so that's what he did. With time, they changed the name of it from the Mariners Apostolic Center to the Mariners Retreat and Conference Center, the MRCC.
Okay.
You know, and they continue hosting youth as well as adult retreats out there. Not only that, they've opened it up to other denominations. So it's not just Catholic retreats or other groups that come out. And then also, they opened it up to what's known as the contemplative outreach. There's a whole movement, we'll be talking about these later on too, of charismatics in the church. And so this is a whole other group. These are mainly lay people. They are grounded in scriptural studies. They're grounded in prayer. And so the Mariners Retreat Center is perfect for them. Again, 108 acres and all kinds of grounds and everything else. Today, there are no Marianists there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
It's entirely lay run, but the mission has not changed.
Okay, good.
And the mission says this. It says, with Mary, to engage in the spiritual and educational development of all God's people. Now, they've just celebrated their 50th anniversary at the Mariners Retreat Center, and they have estimated that that retreat center has served 100,000 guests over that 50-year period.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that pretty incredible?
Yes.
So I pretty much ended the chapter with a quote from St. Paul in his letter to Timothy.
Okay.
And then, so let me just read that paragraph that ends the chapter 2. Okay. So St. Paul wrote to his protege, St. Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's 2 Timothy, 4th chapter. So many men and women of religious congregations could say the same thing. After what appeared to be a period of flux, loss of confidence, an age when everything seemed to be turned upside down in the church and in America, despite the zeitgeist of relativism and instability, despite the free fall of religious vocations in most congregations, despite dissension and disobedience, there were many who took to heart the call of our Savior to leave all and to follow Him. Their efforts would be joined by enlivened laity who fought the good fight in the pro-life movement, direct service to the poor, the disadvantaged, in evangelization, in saving communities, and for some Catholic men, an invitation to clerical service as permanent deacons. And that's what Chapter 3 is going to be about.
Wonderful. A lot of that could be said for this day and age, too.
Yeah.
But yes. So, okay. So, beautiful ended, too. And so, we're looking at these things then for Chapter 3.
Yeah.
So, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to put this together. Because, you know, after the first chapter with the Poseidon adventure,
right.
You're thinking, oh, my goodness, how can we recover from this? Well, believe it or not.
We did pretty well.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, lots of great things going on
still
at this time. This is always good if we keep looking, right?
Right.
Well, usually there's always good. It seems to be. We seem to have been blessed to have mostly good things happening in our life.
Okay, we're finished?
I think so. Thank you so much. Okay. And why don't we pray and start again with Chapter 3 of Book 4 next week.
Sounds good. Okay. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Certainly.
May God bless you. Please keep Monsignor in your prayers.
Thank you.